This podcast is a part of a series called Elevate My Pharmacy Career. We are Ved Jukovic and Chantal Florenza, student representatives working with Pharmacy Career Platform. This encompasses both Locumate, an online platform connecting locums and pharmacies, and Jobs in Pharmacy, which is a digital marketplace connecting you to careers in pharmacy. In this Elevate My Pharmacy Career series, we get a chance to deep dive into the careers of trailblazers within the pharmacy industry. Using our student team, we explore the expansive career opportunities in the pharmacy industry by focusing on new innovation, technology, and the people driving it. In each episode, we'll bring on new guest speakers who have been making a real impact within this community.
So let's introduce our guest for today. Our guest is a founder and managing director of Hummingbird Pharmaceutical Consulting and pharmacist Krista Giannellis. Krista is an astonishing member of the pharmacy industry who is very passionate about her line of work and improving pharmacy for early career pharmacists. Krista, thank you for joining us today. So I'll start with the first question. Can you give our audience a little background about yourself and why you got into pharmacy in the first place?
Thank you so much, girls, and thank you for the opportunity to come and be a part of your podcast. It's very, very thought-provoking and inspirational. So I actually started pharmacy about 10 years ago, and I initially did a Bachelor of Science. So I did a Bachelor of Science at Melbourne University and really found that I enjoyed pharmacology. And then after my Bachelor of Science, pursued a degree in pharmacy at Monash University. And back then there was no option to transfer into a master's. You had to like finish a degree. So I spent 7 years at uni, so it was a long time, but I got there in the end. And actually another factor that it really inspired me to pursue pharmacy was at the time I worked in a community pharmacy. It was based in a hospital here in Melbourne, and the pharmacists themselves were really very impactful in how they treated their patients. And I really got to see firsthand the effect that a pharmacist can really have and really changing people's lives at a grassroots level with regards to patients. So I thought, wow, this is really great. I want to get into this career. It seems like one where you can really give back as well. So that's why I went back to uni for another 4 years and did pharmacy.
Very, very cool. Yeah, it is nice to have like that patient interaction and like create that good bond with them and build up that rapport. Definitely something that a pharmacist needs to have as a personality trait.
Yeah, I think it's actually a massive responsibility that we have as pharmacists. And I personally feel like sometimes that gets diluted by perhaps the retail side of it. And I'm a big advocate for community pharmacy. It's what I love. It's what I'm passionate about. But for me, it also comes with a massive responsibility. And it's one that if you take it seriously and you are thorough in your line of work and you forge those relationships and that trust with your patient that walks through the door, you can honestly save people's lives.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So can you tell us a bit more about Hummingbird Pharmaceutical Consulting and what that is exactly?
Yeah, sure. So Hummingbird is essentially a pharmacist advisory firm. So we're a consulting firm. And our aim is to really be a catalyst for change in our industry. So we want to work with key stakeholders in our industry to support them to be able to deliver their outcomes, whether it's a clinical outcome or a non-clinical outcome. So when I say that, people always say, well, what does that mean? Our services range from community pharmacy transformation, like from a business perspective, to clinical governance auditing and strategy for pharmacies. We also do clinical content creation for some key stakeholders, some education stakeholders in the industry. And then we also like to do some clinical work. So we do strategic medication management and also do a bit of digital health growth and transformation for health tech companies that want to break into the pharmacy industry and want to help support us in what we do.
Yeah, definitely sounds very diverse. very expansive on the services that you offer.
We're a small team and we're a startup. We're really passionate about what we do, and most importantly, we have some core values at Hummingbird, and we work with stakeholders that have the same values, and if their values align with us and we're all on the same page and we believe we can really add value to their business, then we really see amazing outcomes. And I think that's really important no matter what you do, whether you're in pharmacy or not. It's so important to be able to have that synergy and have that open relationship, and also respect that people's businesses are their livelihoods. So when you get that privilege to work with them and they trust you to collaborate and support them, it's something that we really take very seriously at Hummingbird. And it's something that, again, we really work hard to execute.
I think it's very important how you mentioned like the core values to create that synergy. Definitely a very good point there. So how do you sort of manage the team then? And like, what's the work culture like?
So we're quite a small team, but I have a very open and I guess like an open door policy. I check in with my team very regularly, and I'm also open to ideas. So I really don't believe in like the managing director being like the big boss. I'm actually more about, well, let's all collaborate together and let's come together and bring together our ideas and do that regularly, because essentially when you get collaboration and you have diverse ideas and we integrate everyone's opinions and involve everyone in decision making, you get a much better outcome. And whilst, yes, I was the founder of Hummingbird, my team have just incredible diverse experience. So we have a like hospital pharmacists that have renal ward experience. And then we have other pharmacists that are community pharmacists, but also work in health tech. And then we have other pharmacists who actually still work in community, but they also on the side do clinical trials for medicinal cannabis and pain and neurology aspects. So we all come together and we all bring some incredible ideas. And I think the challenge for us this year will actually be, well, we have so many really exciting ideas. How do we actually tailor them down and prioritize and focus on some key services and strategies to be able to actually execute them well and then move on to the next ones down the list, because we've got some really cool ideas.
Sounds like you have a very diverse group of people, even though it is just a small team. So how would you say that inclusivity, diversity and gender equality play a role in the services that you provide to your clients?
Really essential to what we provide. So when we provide services from both a clinical and a non-clinical perspective, as I said before, you get the best outcomes when you actually are considering a diverse background of both people that work in your team, but also your clients. So whether that is a team of staff in a pharmacy, whether that's a group of patients that you've selected to try and curate a medication management plan for, it doesn't matter who it is, but if you don't have a diverse group of people that you're working with and that you're also catering for, you will get a very 2D strategy or solution. So it's super important to, I know for us, we do a lot of medication management planning and we consider all types of populations. So people who have been, you know, catastrophically injured and can't leave home, people who are from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander backgrounds, you know, culturally and linguistically diverse people, patients that are post-discharge and they struggle to get to the pharmacy. Like, how do we, I guess, support that interoperability for those patients? So whilst, yes, it is really important that my team adopt a diverse and inclusive mindset and that we have diverse and inclusive people on our team, it's also even more important, I believe, that we, when we're working with our clients, we're actually considering that also in our outcomes and our solutions.
I couldn't agree more. I think that as pharmacists or student pharmacists, we're always being pushed to think outside the box, find solutions. We're problem solvers. And we're always being taught different ways and have to find our own ways to solve these problems sometimes.
Something that I wish we were taught more at uni was actually that one of the key skills of a pharmacist is actually to problem solve and to push yourself to think about all the different ways that you can solve it. And I'm so glad that you said that now, that that's a skill that is, I guess, championed at uni, because it is one of the most crucial skills. And when I used to train interns, back when I used to manage a pharmacy, that was one of the biggest skills that I would say was crucial to your not success, but fulfillment in pharmacy. If you're a good problem solver and you enjoy that and you enjoy the challenges, you will excel massively.
Pharmacists are asked to work longer hours, take on more responsibilities. A good example was the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, where it was heavily pushed to not only get the vaccination, but also to visit a pharmacy to be vaccinated. How do you think these pressures are shaping pharmacy and the attitudes of pharmacists?
That's a very big question. Yeah. I think I'll start by saying that I think it was wonderful that finally pharmacists were given that responsibility, because we are the most accessible healthcare profession. People come to us all the time. They see us more than their doctors. So it makes sense that from a public health perspective, we are also given that scope of practice to be able to serve our community. Now, I think when we're looking towards the future of pharmacy, naturally, things are changing and digital health is becoming more involved in what we're doing. And I honestly believe the role of the pharmacist will become one that is more service-based. We're already seeing that. Pharmacies are now doing click and collect. Pharmacies are doing phone orders for people, and other people are coming to collect their orders. It's a convenience thing. That's what the consumer is after. I was at a Christmas function the other day, and I was recommending a cream for somebody at the table, like a scar cream. And she jumped on her phone and she said, "Oh, I'll just do this click and collect. I'll see if my local pharmacy has it." And she jumped online and ordered it click and collect. And then she said, "Oh, great. I'll just go pick it up on the weekend." And so it's all about convenience. And rather than being scared of that and threatened by that, I think we really need to embrace it. But I think that it's also a fine line. So when you said before the pressures of all these services, I think that is very warranted. And I think that we need to be employing and integrating the right processes and strategies to be able to support our staff so that we don't get burnt out, and so that we do feel valued, and so that we don't feel as pharmacists like it's just another thing that I have to do for the same wage. Naturally, that's how I think a lot of people are feeling. A lot of people are feeling tired and burnt out. And I don't think it's just in pharmacy. I think it's across the board in every profession. But I think that something that has naturally kind of flown under the radar because we were in this pressure cooker of COVID and nobody really had time to seriously properly think about things. It was just react, react, react. The way forward, I believe, this service-based professional services model of pharmacy. However, it needs to have the right support and framework and strategy underpinning it to support our teams so that they feel valued and so that they feel like it's fair. And it's actually a massive opportunity for us to inbuild as well career development for our pharmacists that everyone is so severely craving. So we're seeing a lot of people leave because they don't feel like they have career development and they don't feel valued. So why not take this opportunity to actually flip it, and rather than say, okay, well, I'm just going to, like, I'm talking about owners and managers here, rather than just making my team do these services as an add-on, why not think about it as a core piece of your business offering? And so One of the services that we do with some of our clients is actually sitting down and incorporating it as a core piece of their business model, so that their pharmacists don't feel like they're under pressure and they're swamped, and that they, you know, are so stressed that they feel like they're going to make a dispensing error. It's actually a positive thing, and people want to get out there on the floor and push professional services and vaccination. And it's actually seen as a core part of their role rather than an add-on.
I couldn't agree more. I think those are the main reasons that pharmacists are leaving. They're not getting their career development, or they're burnt out. Their work culture isn't supporting them, kind of thing. I've seen that a lot just being an intern and seeing different locums come in, and something needs to change.
And I hope that we can be a part of that change. That's part of why I created Hummingbird, because I genuinely want to work with businesses to help retain their staff, to provide that meaningful work. We have the ability to. We are so perfectly positioned to be that cornerstone of the community as a health hub. The work we're doing with some of our clients is honestly, it is so rewarding, because we're meeting those challenges and we're actually exceeding them. And so one of my aims when I founded Hummingbird was that I wanted to create a business that would support other businesses to provide meaningful work for their pharmacists. I think that we have intelligent people, and our pharmacists are so capable. They are one of the most capable professions out there. So let's keep those good people in there, and let's just provide the right frameworks to be able to flourish as a profession.
Which brings me to my next question, actually, because I know that you work very hard and gained the role of pharmacist in charge and manager quite early in your career. So what qualities do you think make for a successful pharmacy leader, and that sets them apart from the rest?
I think a leader broadly, right? Like whether you're a pharmacy leader or a leader, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. And let's not also forget that a leader doesn't have to necessarily be a manager. You can be a leader in a part of a team, right? So I always encourage when I'm leading a team or managing a team that just because I'm that person doesn't mean that everyone else can't also display leadership. That's one of my mantras. But there's kind of four steps to me that make sense as a leader. And firstly, it's just to be who you are, right? So be who you are, don't pretend, and also display empathy. So empathy is a big one for me. I think it's really important when you're trying to motivate a team and you have the privilege to manage a team, that you understand each different person and you try to understand that everyone goes through different circumstances, and certain actions or reactions to things might not necessarily be as black and white as you initially think. And so displaying that empathy and trying to really understand where your team is coming from is first and foremost for me. Second to that is, and something that enables that is a good communication style. So having just a really simple, open communication style where people feel like they can come to you and talk to you, and vice versa, you feel like you can also be open and honest with your team. I think that really fosters and is the key to unlock that empathy as well, and that those conversations where people can be honest with you. And then thirdly, leading on to that, that builds a good relationship. So it's building good relationships so that your team trust you and you trust your team, and you give them the chance to do things freely and openly. And if it goes wrong and it's not the desired outcome, that's okay. You give your team that space to grow, and then you talk through it in a positive way. And it's not a mistake. It's actually an opportunity to learn and to analyze, well, what can we actually do better next time? And how can we grow from this? Nobody gets successful, and nobody is successful in life without making a million mistakes. you've got to make mistakes to actually learn from them, to be better, become better, and to grow and develop in your career. And I hate using the word mistakes, but it's the truth. Like, we all make mistakes and we all learn from them. And as a leader, that is your responsibility, is to give people that space, that safe space to say, okay, well, even if I stuff it up, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to learn from this. And I have a manager or a leader who I actually really respect and trust, and we're going to talk through it. And I'm not going to be reprimanded in a punitive sense, but rather I'm going to learn from it, and I'm actually going to grow. And it's okay. I might be disappointed that I made that error, but it's going to be a good thing in the end. So I think those four key things are something that I try to practice.
So would you say for yourself, having a growth mindset has sort of shaped how successful you've been and your own business and things like that?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Another thing that is really important is it kind of goes back to that whole trust thing, right? So you will naturally want to take a leap and try new things and grow if you trust your manager or your leader or yourself. You know, you trust that, well, okay, I'm going to take a leap here. And if it doesn't pay off, well, that's okay, or if I make a mistake, that's okay, because I'm going to learn from it and I'll get it right next time. That is the only way you learn. Nobody graduates from pharmacy school and never, ever, ever makes a mistake. And in fact, like, I remember as a pharmacy student, when I was like first or second year out, I was working in this really busy pharmacy, and I went from having to dispense like no scripts to like 100 scripts, like just me on my own with a team of really, really supportive pharmacists. Like, there were four or five pharmacists on the team, so it was a great team. But I would, you know, I would make mistakes, and then the pharmacist would check it and she'd be like, Chris, I'll come over here and let's have a chat about it. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm never going to get this. Like, how on earth am I, how do pharmacists do this? You know, like, it's so stressful. And yet now I can manage a really busy pharmacy where, you know, we're doing 400 plus scripts. And if I have to work on my own, I know that I can do 150 scripts on my own, and which is a safe workload. And now I don't even bat an eyelid. But if I hadn't made those mistakes early on, and I hadn't pushed myself and actually put myself in a bit of an uncomfortable position, I remember I used to come home and I was so anxious and I was so, you know, upset because I was disappointed in myself, because I was like, well, why can't you do this? But actually, you need to feel that way. That's very normal, to be able to then grow. But you need that growth point. If you're feeling anxious and you're going home upset and you're not getting that support and it's compounding, that's when it's a problem. And that's when you need to look at other avenues. So there's a difference there.
Yes, definitely. So in your professional opinion, how important do you think then ongoing education and feedback is for pharmacists and aspiring pharmacy students?
I think it's really crucial, and I think it's something we definitely don't do well enough in pharmacy. Mm-hmm. I wrote a piece, Attain Business Brokers. They do a leadership scholarship, and I submitted a piece on what the biggest opportunity I thought was for pharmacy in the future. And that was the one thing that I wrote about, was that we need to be fostering a structured development for our teams. And furthermore, we also need to be having regular open lines of communication in a structured and meaningful way. When I say we're not doing this, I'm certainly not trying to criticize businesses at all. I am the first person to understand how busy a pharmacy environment is. Like, I know how chaotic it is. I've done it for 10 years. Like, I get it. And there is so much. Sometimes we forget and we underestimate how much work is involved in owning a pharmacy and running a business. It is just so involved. Like we just can't even imagine how much these owners go through. Having to then do these other things where you're actually, you know, strategically from an operations level, planning out your staff, how they're going to work efficiently in the dispensary and how they're going to actually further their education and how you're going to fit in regular meetings with them to be able to open those lines of communication and, like you said, provide feedback. That's very involved, right? So what we do at Hummingbird is actually sit down with our clients and say, okay, well, what's the problem that we can help you solve with regard to professional development, with regard to culture, team culture? Usually the complaint is, look, it's a team culture thing and it's a staff retention thing. And underpinning that, when you sit down and you talk to your staff, and even in an anonymous sense, if you talk to your staff and you do surveys and things like that, you actually realize that people are just craving some kind of meaningful support system. And that comes in the form of perhaps a monthly meeting with the pharmacist manager and a quarterly meeting with the owner, where there are goals set and then there are accordingly wages, like a wage growth structure as well, so that everyone is on the same page and there is an open and honest dialogue around some purpose in the work. If you have pharmacists that are just going to work 9 to 5 and they are saying to you that they don't want a pay rise, I'd love to talk to you. Because everything in life is getting more expensive. And whilst they may not want to be a manager or an owner, sitting down and understanding what actually drives them and gets them up out of bed in the morning and how to actually help support them, even if it's a small wage increase, and help them feel more valued, that will all contribute to retention of your staff. And that doesn't mean I'll just have a coffee with them once a month. That is a structured, strategic plan that needs to be put in place. And it is something that will, like, the return on investment is just massive. Like, it is something that every pharmacy needs, and it's hopefully something that, in collaborating with many pharmacies, I can help to implement for a lot of people.
I think it comes down to, like, validation for people, and, you know, people just want to be recognized for their work and what they do. And I feel like pharmacists are overlooked not only by their employers but the community even. So that's why the whole COVID-19 vaccines was a good way for pharmacists to be more recognized. I do strongly believe that just recognition and having that support, like you said, is so crucial to making good pharmacists.
And I think also when you talk about recognition and we talk about retention, right, because a lot of owners ask me, well, why can't I find good pharmacists? Let's not also forget that for a lot of people, whilst, yes, small increases, you know, CPI increases are fine and all they want, because they're already getting paid very well, because there are pharmacies out there that are paying their staff very well. Perhaps for that person, what's actually more valuable is actually the fact that they want to go on a quarterly yoga retreat, or, you know, they want to become a Pilates teacher on the side, or, you know, whatever it may be, I'm not sure. But what is actually just as important as that career development is that personal development and understanding that person. And that's where, when we were talking about leadership and what is something that I think is really important in a leader that stands out, is someone who has empathy, because you actually genuinely want to understand, well, what makes that person tick? Are they a single mum and they can't actually get their kid to school because they're doing so many things and juggling so many balls that they feel so stressed and they need specific hours and they need that extra support and they want that one day off a week every now and then because they want to spend it with their child? Okay, let's champion that. Let's bring that to the front and let's talk about that. But those conversations won't happen if you're not building that trust and you're not building those relationships. You're not going to get those answers if you just sit down with your team once a year and just ask them to fill out a form. Nobody's going to be honest like that. I mean, some people will, but the majority of the people will just say, well, you know what, this is just a box ticking exercise. But if you're fostering those relationships, and yes, they do require effort, but it is so much more worthwhile in the long run if you take the time to invest in your staff from a personal perspective. That retention will go through the roof. Fulfillment for your staff at work will go through the roof. Like you said, ultimately, people just want to feel valued and they want to feel recognized. And that happens because you invest and you spend the time with your staff in a structured, meaningful, and open way.
Yes, definitely, definitely. The honesty plays a huge role in all of that. Final question. Do you have any advice on how we can elevate our careers as pharmacy students and interns?
I love this question. So at uni, it's like community or hospital, and that's the only way. But the world is changing. And whilst, yes, I am the number one advocate for community pharmacy, and I think it is an incredible career, and I would encourage you that if you are in a community pharmacy and you are not happy, that you please find a pharmacy that will provide you that fulfillment. And that might be working part-time in two pharmacies, and that's okay. But whilst there tends to be those two careers, and then sometimes industry gets mentioned every now and then, but digital health is like so big at the moment. And I'd encourage pharmacy students to also look outside of that horizon, because there are so many avenues where you can be a pharmacist and you can utilize your medication knowledge, and you can collaborate in a multidisciplinary team with other doctors, nurses, diabetes educators. You can be a diabetes educator and a pharmacist. There's so many options out there, and because I naturally see the progression of our industry moving to one that is professional services based, I would just encourage you to just not be afraid to take a leap and don't feel pigeonholed, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, there's so many medical, broader medical conferences. There's the Digital Healthcare Festival. There's the, you know, each state does a healthcare conference. Go to those other conferences where there's actually doctors, you know, nurses, physios, osteos. There's so many people there, and just talk to people and discuss and open your horizons. You don't have to feel pigeonholed into those three pathways. Put yourself out there. Right. I say put yourself out there, but it's nerve-wracking, right? Even for the most extroverted person, it's still nerve-wracking. So if you're that introverted person and you're like listening to this podcast and you're like, oh my God, she just said, put yourself out there. There's no way I'm doing that. Go with a group of friends, like get your friend that's the extroverted one and make them do it. Send someone a message on LinkedIn. I cannot explain how many times I've just said to myself, well, you know what? I'm just going to message this person on LinkedIn. And if they answer, great. If they don't reply, well, you know what? I've never met them anyway, so it's fine. Start building that network and build it in a genuine way, and you will find. I had a discussion with a student last week, and she was tossing up between pharmacy and speech pathology. And she said, oh, I'm not sure which one to do. I just did my science degree and I'm not sure. She said, oh, I've heard a lot of negative things about pharmacy. Like, what do you think? And I said to her, look, whilst, yes, you hear a lot of negative things, I really think pharmacy is at this crucial point where it's going to have to change away from that traditional model for us to remain essentially the champions of medication management. So when people talk about, oh, the future is digital health and the future is digital pharmacy, it's already here. It's already happening. I think it's a really good thing because ultimately, it's what the consumers want, and it does make healthcare accessible to a lot of people that wouldn't otherwise go see a doctor or go see a pharmacist or actually access their medication. So the person who's sitting in their office or the patient who's sitting at home and is actually quite immobile, who can order a click and collect and can go and actually get someone else to pick up their medications and then have the pharmacist call them or do a video, you know, conference with them. That's actually, in my opinion, a really good thing. And it is not a futuristic thing. It is happening now. It's about, okay, well, this is the direction we're heading. And I think it's actually a really good direction. I think it's something that will enable us to only practice more clinically and more professionally service orientated. So as a pharmacy student, so I said to this student who asked me, should I do pharmacy or should I do speech pathology? I said, for me, it's a no-brainer. I would definitely do pharmacy because the space is changing right before our eyes. It's already started changing. And in 10 to 20 years, we will be like, wow, we didn't even think we were doing this, but how incredible that we can change people's lives and do it, I guess, in a digital health enabled way, and jobs that will exist in 20 years time that we don't even know about now. And as a pharmacist, I'm not talking about just generally in tech. So choose pharmacy, and it is so exciting. There's so many exciting things to come, but you do need to open your perspective and your thinking to what is potentially out there. Don't feel sucked into the vortex of negativity of we're not getting paid enough, we're not this. These are all good things because they're forcing people to have conversations. And you know, I hope that in, for example, the endeavor, the business endeavor that I'm doing with Hummingbird, and that we're already seeing so many positive results with, that it's pushing people to do things differently so that we can get the change we need, so that in 20 years time we can look back and go, wow, look at these roles that we never thought were possible, and look at how much we've grown as a profession.
I'm in my intern year right now. I just started, and I remember when I first started uni, they're like, you have so many options. You have like so many options as a pharmacist. But then coming towards the end, it felt again, hospital or community, which one are you going to do? But working with Locumate and jobs in pharmacy, I've had the opportunity to speak to so many other people, other pharmacists in different places. And I think it's really important to get the word out to show early career pharmacists or other pharmacists or students that we do have more options.
And it's also okay to do more than one thing. So you might want to be a locum, and also because you love community pharmacy, but you need that flexibility, for example, and also then run, you know, like be doing a PhD on the side, or be working for a medicinal cannabis company, or be working for a digital health company, or be working in government, for, like doing policy, because there's so much change going on at the moment. Or even yet, you might be wanting to work with nurses and doctors to help them with a medication strategy plan for a patient. The list is endless. And I honestly think out of all these struggles and these pressures that everyone is feeling, this is just an opportunity for us. And this is an opportunity for us as a profession to grow, and every industry has these growing pains, we'll call them. It's a very small industry and everyone knows everyone, and we tend to, I guess, not venture out and talk with other healthcare professions. I feel like it can feel quite isolating, and it can feel quite like a pressure cooker at times. If you feel like that, obviously, like I mentioned before, it's really important to talk to the professional pharmacist service hotline, so there's support there, but B, also talk amongst your colleagues, open up that dialogue. The second you open up about how you're feeling, other people will say, oh wow, I've actually had the same experience. And honestly, 99% of pharmacists, I'm sure, have had experiences like how every intern feels. So we've all been there at one point. Nobody is better than anyone else just because you're an owner or you're a manager. Yes, you have more experience. So utilize those relationships, leverage those relationships, open up those conversations. Don't feel like there's no other option, because there are so many options. You've just sometimes got to send that email, send that text message, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I love catching up for a coffee. Honestly, there's so many people out there that you can talk to. If you want to do it anonymously, send someone an anonymous message on, you know, like a social media platform. There's so many options. So please, if you're not happy and you're feeling trapped in that pressure cooker environment, just reach out, because it is going to be really, really exciting and very, I hope, innovative in the years to come.
Yes, that's definitely amazing advice. So thank you for that. Krissa, it has been inspiring and so informative speaking with you today. Thank you for the wisdom you have shared with us. Also, a big thank you to our listeners. I hope you have thoroughly enjoyed today's podcast. If you want to follow Krissa on her journey and see what she's up to next, you can find her on LinkedIn. Otherwise, please feel free to get in touch with us and we can connect you. And if you haven't already, please visit www.jobsinpharmacy.com.au to elevate your pharmacy career today.
Thanks so much, guys. And thank you to Locumate as well for the opportunity. And thank you, Chantel and Ved. It was really lovely chatting. And like I said before, if you're a pharmacy student and you just want to chat because you're not feeling like you're getting enough from your career, please reach out on LinkedIn. Similarly, if there's things that have rung true to you throughout this podcast and you're an owner or a manager, please reach out as well. It's honestly just an intro chat. We don't, you know, it's an obligation-free chat at Hummingbird, and we'd love to talk to you about how we can hopefully create some positive change in your business.